Hi. Today we're live from the Annex Salad Club with Justin Adam, Principal Art Director at Miniature Massive. Hi, Justin.
How you doing, Michael?
I'm doing fine. So, professional baseball player turned marketing guru. Tell me, how did that transition go?
Oh, my goodness. We've only got 10 minutes. I'm going to give you the Coles notes. You know, it's when I was a ball player at a young age. I got drafted out of high school, so there was an advantage to that. I started early, and I came across, you know, I sort of had some difficulty in that I had a couple of difficult injuries, which brought, you know, sort of brought me down, brought my performance level down. Beyond that, it kind of it started to play with my mental, you know, sort of psychology, where I started to think, well, you know, I use my body as my sort of my tool, and then I decided, well, let's back this up and you start using my mind as well. So luckily, when I signed I played for the Kansas City Royals, and when I signed, I got money to go to school. So I used that money at my mother's, guidance. She told me, look, put some of that money towards school. So I did. I went to university and I got my degree in the arts. I'd always been interested in the arts, but I sort of got a second chance. And from that point, I moved out to Vancouver to study film. And I actually cut my teeth in film. So that's where I first got excited about, well, it was everything about, you know, sort of visual communication. It was communication. It was the internet was in its infancy. Filmmaking was starting to land on your desktop. So all of a sudden you could come up with a film idea and produce it on, you know, a laptop or a desktop. So this was an exciting time. So that's when I really got into it. I started getting into advertising at that point. So that was it was about 99, 2000. Mm-hmm. I got drafted as a ball player in 92.
Okay.
Yeah.
So how long have you been in the marketing game then?
I would say it was kind of a gray area, but I would say at about the 2002-2003 time period. I actually got a job in Vancouver, really interesting job. After I was working for a place called the Alibi Room. If you're familiar with Vancouver, Alibi Room was an institution. It was a night sort of spot. It was a restaurant, but more than that, it was like a community of people. A lot of people in the arts and film and music industries. So I was working for them, promoting their place. Frankly, that was my first job in advertising, was I was promoting them. And through that, there was a guy who kind of, he's become the king of Gastown, they call him. His name's Sean Heather. Sean saw me in a cafe one day, and he remembered some work that I had done. And he said, you know, Justin, I've got a really interesting project I think you might like. Let's sit down over a coffee and discuss it, right? So at the time, he had the Irish Heather, which, yes, was, I think, the only thing he had at the time. But it's an institution in Gastown. It's a Irish pub.
Yeah.
So he sat down with me and said, I'm partnering with a friend. His name was Scott Hawthorne, and we're going to open a restaurant in the alleyway in Blood Alley. So Blood Alley was known for where they used to slaughter pigs back in the day.
Right.
So it had this connotation. Then, you know, the sort of the drug addicts and crackheads got in there. And I thought to myself, man, this is the craziest idea. You know, it sounds really bizarre. I'm going to open a wine bar in this back Blood Alley, which had a notoriety. And I said, I love it. I'm on. So, yeah, I started working on that, and I did the identity for what's now become Salt Tasting Room. And Salt has now become also an institution in Gastown. And since, you know, not to say it was because of me, but, you know, I sort of helped him create his enterprise in Gastown. And that was my very first thing. And then I came to Toronto, and I landed at the Drake Hotel and opportunities to do their design and art direction. And the chef at the time, his name's Anthony Rose.
Yes.
Some people might know Anthony in town. He knew the brand that I created for Salt. He knew the project. And he was very excited that, you know, he to have met me. And then we started working together. I got hired, and then I worked at the Drake. So that was where I started in Toronto. It was okay. At the Drake Hotel. Yeah.
So how did all this evolve into Miniature Massive?
So I met in Vancouver. I met my wife Annie Castillo, who's an illustrator, really well known illustrator from Mexico. And I met her right around the time. This is shortly after, you know, SALT had happened, and it was, you know, it's sort of a bit of a transition time in my life. And her and I met, and we started doing work together. And we sort of combined forces. Sort of, I was, you know, kind of, you know, the art direction and design, and Annie did the illustration and a lot of personality and copy and so on. So we started working together indirectly, and through a few projects, we started to build, you know, a bit of a like, not to say a following, but people recognized the work. So we decided, okay, let's take this venture and let's take our combined forces and turn it into a firm and start a. We basically, you know, wanted to do communications that was bold, that was modern, and that was striving towards a positive outcome. Whereas we're not just trying to sell widgets, we're actually trying to make sort of a change and change people's thinking and make people think about just, you know, interaction and social interaction and commerce in a bit of a different way. So commerce with a conscience. And so we delved into that, and we got a number of interesting projects right out of the gates, and it started to build fairly quickly. And now we've been a company for 5 years, just about.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah.
So I noticed on your website you had a sort of like vision statement as a global open source model with a, you know, free of four walls.
Yeah.
Did you make it?
I'm glad you asked that, because I think that's the kind of the core concept of the company that makes it different, but also what I think makes it a sustainable model for the future. When Annie and I met, we met actually remotely. She was living in Mexico, and she was on her laptop that her dad had bought her. And ironically enough, I was on my laptop that my dad bought me as a gift. And we communicated that way. We were in separate geographic locations, but we were connected just through the device. And that eventually brought us together. And then that kind of remote, mobile kind of way of working was something that we always kind of would explore. And all the people that we met throughout the time that we worked together was kind of, that was the core of what really mattered. It didn't have so much to do with where you were, you know, if you were in a specific room. It was more the people that you're surrounded by, and the device was just the sort of tool for communication. So I thought to myself, well, you know, Miniature Massive doesn't necessarily have to be a specific geographical location. It doesn't necessarily have to be an address. It can be people with ideas, who are strong people with strong ideas and strong will, working together to a common end. So I thought, you know, one day we could have people in all corners of the earth working, you know, sort of for a virtual, you know, concept. For the same end, and it has kind of manifested into that. A recent project we did, we had an artist in Mexico, we had an artist here in Toronto, we had one out in Vancouver, we had one in Hong Kong, and we had a number of us here in Toronto working together, and that was for a Susser Lee project that he recently opened. So, you know, Chef Susser Lee. And that was the realization of it. I thought, wow, this is now happening. You know, this idea that at one time was just purely a concept is now manifested into something that's real. So that was a pretty exciting feeling that time. You know, and then time to time, it can be more conventional in its structure, but I strive for this. You know, it's almost like what's happening with, you know, Amazon, and you know, now that is sort of coming to fruition, where people are wrapping their heads around this concept that isn't dependent on a storefront. You know, it's more dependent on humans, you know, want and need to have things, variety of things, and have them quickly, and at a reasonable cost. And so I think it's similar in the thinking, in that it's not dependent on a physical space. Although there's a caveat to that, without CSI, we wouldn't have been able to do this, right? You know, right. Because this community that it provided, I think, beyond the fact that it is a great location, it's the community that really facilitated the growth of the company, at least of the name and of the concept. It allowed for it to be, whereas without it, I think it would have been much more difficult to execute. Yeah.
One of the things I noticed about your work was it is very whimsical in certain ways. Where does that come from?
That's a good question. I would say it's a combination of Annie's sensibility and we, I think we're both kind of dreamers. We sort of try to imagine another world or a different world at all times. And because the world is changing, and really it's only the limitations of the human mind that changes it. I mean, it's not going to change on its own, right? So I think that we like to imagine a future, or imagine different futures, or imagine what does a brand look like in outside of like everyday context,
yes.
And to try to separate it out from the noise, because there's a lot of noise out there. There's so much stuff, and you know, you have to really sort of filter through. You know, what's good, what stuff is valid, what stuff is meaningful, you know. So we try to use that to cut through, and at the end of the day, I would consider ourselves entertainment company versus an advertising company. More entertainment, in that, why entertainment? Well, it's like, how do we grab the viewer's attention and tell them a story? Right, and really, that's sort of what entertainment is. It's, you know, telling stories amongst, sharing stories amongst humans. And I think we're both storytellers, and we're trying to tell a story that's rich about something, someone, some place, a concept where people are going to engage and then be interested themselves. So,
well, I think storytelling is a very big part of advertising now, as well as just being on the web. I mean, your social media is set up for storytelling at this point.
Absolutely. Like the stories, like the Instagram,
yes,
stories, which,
yeah,
are taking, you know, a lot of, it seems like people are going that direction versus just posting photos, right? Yeah.
Well, I think it's great, because I have some friends in Los Angeles that I hardly ever see, but I feel that I keep in touch with them through their stories.
Absolutely.
You know.
Yeah, absolutely. No, it's amazing.
Yeah.
So, you know, to me, that's an important part, you know, human story, and you know, sort of people that are doing things extraordinary, like yourself, Michael, like what you're doing here, the fact that you and I had a conversation over a salad, and, you know, and then we, you know, sat and had another one amongst another group of people, and then we, you know, you invited me to do this, and which you're doing with this is the kind of people that we like to work with, is people who are doing things that are, you know, extraordinary. They're not just like your run-of-the-mill things, and you're sort of building community, and you're involving other people, and that's what it's all about. So yeah.
Well, I think a big part of doing this is about sharing with the community.
Absolutely.
And certainly waking up of what is available, mm-hmm, for the community.
Absolutely.
My experience at Salad Club has always been one of the most powerful things that I've experienced at CSI. So
absolutely, yeah.
What is it about your work that attracts your clients?
You know, it's, I think we get to the, one of the things that we, when we launched a company, one of the core phrases that we used as kind of a manifesto was, every big began small. So every big began small, sort of, it speaks to the idea that it starts with that nucleus of an idea, or it's an interaction, or it's, you know, a personal relationship, or whatever that case might be. But whatever that kind of nucleus of the thing is, we try to hammer down to that and really get to the heart of, and, you know, really it is the heart of it. So what's the heart of it? So let's find the heart of it, and let's amplify that. And I think that's what's the most visceral thing is, it with any, you know, any organization or concept or whatever, film or whatever the case might be, it's that kind of core nucleus of a heart of a thing that makes it great. So we magnify in on that sort of small nucleus of an idea, and we amplify that. So it's about getting to the heart of you know, it's about people and what drives people and what's in their heart and what do they want for the future? What are the, you know, so that was, that's, I think that's what people gravitate to when they look at or they've heard of or they experience our projects.
So where can people find you if they need to get in touch with you?
You can contact us through the web or through social media. The web is the best way. If you search Miniature Massive, you'll find us, and you can go to our website. You know, it's interesting you ask, Michael, because I was redesigning the way to contact us, and I didn't like the idea of a contact form. All of a sudden I was like, well, I want to have a conversation with whomever's interested, you know, and sort of. So I'm actually rethinking how, you know, what's the best way, what's that touch point, what's that first interaction all about? Because it's important. So a contact form is cold. So I actually, it's not there right now. But at the same time, you can email me or email us at info@miniaturemassive.com and you'll get to us.
Or they can find you here at Salad Club or at the Annex.
That's right. Every Wednesday, if you come into the Salad Club at CSI Annex, 720 Bathurst, likely you're going to find me eating salad.
There you go.
So thanks again for asking for me to be on this, Michael. It's been fun.
It's been a pleasure. Thanks a lot.
Okay, my pleasure.
Bye-bye.